Hello, Yelp Tampa Bay listeners and beyond. My name is Christina Golden, and I am your Yelp Tampa Bay community manager. Sometimes you get a chance to meet someone that is so incredibly passionate about their work that time just flies. 23 Restaurant Services owns Ford's Garage, Yeoman's Cask and Lion, and Sake 23, with a new concept, Tiki Docks, opening soon. So Tara Matheny, the VP of Branding, and I had a ton to discuss. We hopped around from the incredible growth trajectory of Ford's Garage to her field research trip to London when redesigning Yeoman's Cask and Lion, to how managing a sushi restaurant is different than your typical American British comfort food cuisine. I hope you enjoy. Okay, so I am here today with Tara Matheny from 23 Restaurant Services, and your title is the VP of Brand Development, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. So let's start then in terms of what is your role then with 23 Restaurant Services?
It's a versatile role. So when it comes to branding, brand development, new concept work, the marketing department, the creative content, in existing locations, creative efforts, or local store marketing strategies to a brand new concept and what's the idea for it, the name for it, the logo for it. So as far as the title VP of brand development, you can see that brand development encases a lot of different components.
Yeah, so because the company itself has been around since 2014, is that correct?
Correct. Okay. So we had been involved in the world of restaurants as well as other businesses prior to that, mm-hmm. but the operating and management company and 23 Restaurant Services itself was technically formed in 2014 when we knew we were opening up two restaurants, two different brands, two locations in the Tampa Bay area. And so we put that entity, 23 Restaurant Services, together to kick off that whole project of we're doing this in Tampa Bay, and then it's only going to grow from there.
Okay, and what were those brands?
So that was the Ford's Garage brand, mm-hmm. and its first Tampa Bay location was in Brandon, so Ford's Garage Brandon. And then it was the Yeoman's brand, Yeoman's Cask and Lion, which was the first location of the Yeoman's Cask and Lion brand in Tampa. Okay. It had a little bit of history prior as Yeoman's Road Pub on Davis Island. There's a connection there, but the new rebranded concept itself, Yeoman's Cask and Lion, was the first in downtown Tampa.
Okay, so backing up then in terms of 23 Restaurant Services and how it started. So what was it then before, and then how did it evolve into what it is today?
So in a nutshell, it probably all really started back when the first Ford's Garage concept was created down in Fort Myers, Florida in 2012. So we, part of the team that exists now at 23 Restaurant Services, which is myself and Mark Brown, the current president, we had done other business with the team down in Fort Myers that created the Ford's Garage concept. And there was a tight relationship there. Obviously, we knew the projects they were working on, and from an investor approach is how we got involved. From there, it only flourished and it grew because we were such business-minded people that did other types of business services. And honestly, you get any type of business people in a room and they start bouncing ideas off of each other. You know, the entrepreneurial spirit really brings a lot of energy when you trust those people you're talking to, like your inner circle of friends. And so that just kind of grew and flourished, our relationship with the team down in Fort Myers. And when they opened up their second and third location, we continued with our partnership as far as being investors. And then sharing the business knowledges back and forth about business in general, it evolved into us saying, hey, let's bring this brand to Tampa Bay. We're the right people to do it. They trusted that and they supported that. And so that was kind of the relationship prior to developing 23 Restaurant Services.
So now you guys basically completely oversee Ford's Garage, right? Like it's basically like your restaurants.
Well, once Ford's Garage Brandon opened, and then we opened up Yeoman's Cask and Lion as well, what ended up happening is, you know, we did ourselves and the Fort Myers group included saw nothing but growth on the horizon for Ford's Garage. That brand exceeded everybody's expectation as far as what the consumer, you know, the general population felt about the brand, the Americana and the history behind it. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that we were onto something and it was going to grow, that's when it evolved into the group down south wanting to develop other concepts and seeing how big Ford's Garage was going to grow. They said, you know, Mark, who's the president of our company and 23 Restaurant Services, we see you growing this brand. And you've got the vision for it. You've got the drive. You've got the right organization. You've started to build a team for it. And so that ultimately 23 Restaurant Services took over the brand as far as operating and managing all locations and the entire brand growth.
Okay, wow. Because I think I saw at the last count there's 13 Ford's Garages now.
13 that are open. Okay. And I mean, there's also several that are under construction. And there's even a Times Square location, you know, that is on the horizon as well as far as the lease being negotiated. Mm-hmm. So it's really exciting that, yes, 13 are open. We just broke ground this week on the 14th location. Later this week should be the 15th location breaking ground, and we should have about double open by the end of next year.
That's amazing. So, I mean, you must be very proud of seeing this growth. What do you think has really contributed then to this like fast growth? Because since 2014, I mean, that's like 5 years ago, which isn't long in any stretch of the imagination.
No, every time we pause and think about the timeline of this, all of us are in awe, and there's really no better explanation. And it might sound a little cliche, but it truly is about teamwork. It's about developing the right team as far as the foundation of 23 Restaurant Services, all the way to the teams that are being built at each location. It truly and genuinely could not be done without the teams in place and the teams that continue to grow. And part of our culture here is one team, and everybody does feel like family. Not to say there's not challenges with that family, just like your own personal one. However, at the end of the day, that core group and that teamwork that's involved at moving such a fast pace, that's the only explanation for the success of it.
And so I'm guessing, so before you were kind of then in a consulting role with Ford's Garage when it was with the company, is that kind of the best way to describe it?
The best way to describe it, not necessarily consulting role, I would actually say more like you could have considered this in the beginning more like how a franchisee, you know, a franchisee mm-hmm. would open up a location. Mm-hmm. So I would say we weren't a franchisee, but it was more like that type of relationship. Got when it. We said, hey, let us develop the Tampa Bay region.
So how did you find Ford's Garage in the first place?
So back in 2012, because our backgrounds are very versatile in the world of business, Mark's, he had other companies that he was involved with that had nothing to do with the restaurant industry, but it still did support business services. And so he had a relationship with that group down in Fort Myers. They were a client of his with his former business. So they had other business services that would, you know, support any business, not just a restaurant, such as merchant accounts and other business services. So that's where it goes way back to that.
Got it. So then you guys really saw that Ford's Garage was growing, and that's how you decided to focus on now Ford's Garage. And then you guys opened Yeoman's Cask and Lion, and now you guys are opening Tiki Dock, right? Is that
right?
That's really the timeline.
Right. And again, all this kind of comes to, all this relates, if we think backwards, is just all of us having a very versatile background. But I will say, I mean, many years of restaurant experience as well before that entrepreneurial world started. We all worked in restaurants, whether we were servers, bartenders, managers, general managers, you know, district managers. And then it evolved to growing into other business avenues as far as the team, Mark's history, my past, you know, owning different types of businesses, but always having that entrepreneurial spirit. And you can really apply that to almost in any industry you dive into. And so when we got introduced to the world of restaurants, I should have said again, mm-hmm. That's why the group down in Fort Myers, it all just clicked, is because of sharing that business type of outlook and mentality. So we got reintroduced to getting hooked back into the world of restaurants. And so when we started to dive into the Tampa Bay market, it's almost like, let's forget about all our other businesses right now. Now we have a new project. Let's put all the new business ideas and strategies into the restaurant industry again, mm-hmm. then it just, it was perfect timing. It was knowing that the Ford's Garage brand was a good one and solid, and it was something we wanted to pursue and put those business efforts into, to seeing this opportunity with Yeomans and knowing what that could be turned into as far as the creative ideas for it and a new concept for it. So then, yes, then that grew to a couple of other concepts. There's also, before Tiki Docs being the newest concept, we had taken over a sushi concept in St. Pete, and we rebranded that. So that was Suzu Asian Kitchen, and our team decided to obtain that, and then we rebranded it as Saki 23. And then Tiki Docs was the next project and vision in Brandon and Riverview. We just actually, somebody approached us about having a good piece of land. Mm-hmm. And immediately we thought, I mean, how do you pass up on this opportunity on a waterfront property? Because we just don't feel like there's enough of those in Tampa Bay. And most of the people living in the Tampa Bay area say, how come there aren't more, you know, waterfront options as far as dining or even places just to spend a little bit of time and get a drink? Mm-hmm. So that property at Tiki Docks fell into our lap for the most part. And we just did what we normally do, figure out a way to make it happen. And that, I mean, when you've got that entrepreneurial spirit, that's really, you don't have any fear. And you say, hey, let's dive into this. Let's figure out a way to make it happen. And we've been planning the concept and the strategy and the engineering behind Tiki Docs for almost 3 years now. Wow. And we just broke ground earlier this year. And it's quite the adventure with the structural engineering and support, because it's close to the river. It's on the Alafaya River, and it's in mud. So this rainy summer hasn't really helped us with our progress on that, but we're just excited to get it going.
It's funny. You're right. That is a question I actually get a lot, is what is a good place that's on the water to eat at? Because you're right. It does seem like Tampa Bay has kind of a dearth of great waterfront restaurants for how much water we have. I mean, Pinellas has it on just all sides. So Tampa the same way. But just going back to Yeoman's Cask and Lion, how did you guys end up deciding to take it over and rebrand it? And can you talk through the rebranding effort? Because I know that you were the one who essentially thought through all that and led the charge.
So, you know, I mentioned earlier about the business services and different businesses prior to us getting back into the restaurant side of things. And so Yeoman's Road Pub that was on Davis Island, Connie and Bondo that owned it at the time, and they were, the third owner of that concept, Yeoman's Road Pub. We had been providing them business services with Mark's former business, and a relationship grew because they're such great people, and we had always supported their brand, so we were fans of it. Mm-hmm. However, being business-minded people, we couldn't think, oh, if we did this or helped with that, this place could be so great. It's not getting the exposure it deserves. We think it's, you know, a great little spot, but man, it could be even greater. So naturally, again, we just had that entrepreneurial spirit and outlook on it, and had conversations with them about it from time to time. And they were wanting ultimately or eventually to get back up to Pennsylvania and Philadelphia where they had family. Mm-hmm. And so we said, you know, we've recently dove back into the restaurant industry, and now that's where our business is starting to be focused, and we're working with Ford's Garage. You know, let us do something with this brand. Let us turn it into everything, that all these ideas that are, you know, going through our minds, and let us dive into it. However, we're not going to dive into that without your support and your approval. And again, they loved their business, but they were getting a little tired. Mm-hmm. And so they were fully supportive and said, okay, we'll close down Yeoman's Road Pub on Davis Island, and we believe in you. And honestly, we could not be more grateful that they did believe in us. We were supercharged, super excited, and that's because of all the small talk and chatter that you have when, you know, you're not working, but you're still working because you're talking about business when you're off work, and talking about the ideas we had for Yeoman's. And the branding behind it, it's a long but short story. You know, design elements as far as decor started to come first before the name ever did. And, you know, at first we're like, are we calling this Yeoman's Road Pub? We just felt there was a lot of history there, but the energy and the changes we were really bringing to it, the two were very different. So we started working on all the design components as far as whether it was menu changes or the look and feel inside. And we knew typically with the kind of energy that we thought restaurants deserved, meaning to provide a guest experience. And then what we were seeing with the Ford's Garage brand, mm-hmm. we were thinking, okay, what can contribute to a guest experience? Well, that's not a traditional British pub. I mean, it's great to go visit a traditional British pub. It's not really a guest experience unless you've had too many pints. I mean, they're pretty quiet, sometimes a little boring, unless you've got a rowdy group and then it's your own party. It's not the fact it's providing you an experience. So we said, let's bring some creativity and some energy to this. So as far as the design and the decor, we knew that we wanted it to feel a little bit bright, you know, make sure that light came in, have artwork or designs. So I came across an artist where on a wall mural, I saw their name. And so then I had to go use the internet to pretty much hunt them down, ask them if they could put to life something that I had envisioned with some art and characters. And that was just, you know, one other thing that just came together to bring the brand, this brand to, and this concept idea to life. And so that's why the Yeoman's brand has the original artwork of the British icons. And not many people know the full story behind them, but they play off of each other and there's a story behind the artwork itself. So the design and decor kind of came together as far as being more modern and fun versus just a basic traditional British pub. And then, believe it or not, when I was figuring out how to, hey, what can we do with the bathrooms? I kind of felt like I had writer's block at the end of designing the build out and the concept. And Mark, who obviously we worked together on the whole project, said, well, you know, we haven't been to London yet. Shouldn't we have gone and visited England before we finished this concept out? And we were honestly 75% of the way through completing this concept. And, you know, we almost felt like hypocrites a little, but you get so entrenched with Yeoman's Road Pub and knowing the history or this day and age on the internet of feeling like, hey, I got a good grasp on things. Mm-hmm. So 48 hours later, myself and other members of the team, we were over in London. And this was all just to really figure out what to do in the bathroom, which didn't make sense, but it was going to kind of get this whole thing, you know, kind of closed out. So when we were over there, that's when I started to think about, hey, other design components, you know, what is our name going to be? And we don't have any artifacts. And, you know, there were a couple of artifacts from the previous brand and concept, Yeoman's Road Pub, but to truly bring the energy together of this new idea of creating a guest experience. So 3-4 days into the trip, impromptu trip to London, but you know, everybody was enjoying the pubs. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to research the pubs, right? Oh, but yeah, the whole time I'm thinking, but there's no artifacts in pubs. Where am I going to find artifacts? And so the trip was coming to an end and I was a little disappointed that we didn't go shopping. Your typical kind of, you know, female, oh, I wanted to shop. And we extended the trip by one day. I was very, very hopeful that the team would finally want to go on the hunt for artifacts. I guess in the back of my mind, I'm thinking we're going to hit an antique shop or something. Well, no, the same research conducted the final day, which was more, let's visit other pubs we haven't seen. So finally, after that extended day and on that night, walking back to the hotel and knowing the flight was early the next morning, I walk by an art gallery and I see these neon lights inside. And this one neon light is the lion head with a British flag. And, you know, it was fate. And yeah. So I go to open the door and because I saw a guy at the front desk and it's locked. And, you know, he's like, oh, we're closed. So all I do is point at that neon piece and say, I'm going to buy that. So he opened the door. Ugh. So we go in the neon gallery, not really knowing the history or importance of it. Just like, hey, this is a cool neon light that's going to add all of this whole story together. And that's when we discovered that it was not just any neon. It was famous neon because one of the world's most renowned neon artists, his name was Chris Bracey. Mm-hmm. He had a gallery and he had just passed a few months prior. I don't remember what type of cancer. And they still have his galleries. They're still even available to this day. So that piece was just like calling our name as far as really putting, you know, an investment to put this all together. And we had the piece shipped back here and we actually ended up coming across one or two more neon pieces. And so then on the flight home, taking into account the energy behind what you experience over there with how the decor came together and then really this piece that we found. Cask ale is at almost every pub that the team researched during that 4 days. And I said, well, we can't do this without cask ale. So, you know, not only would cask maybe fit in the name, now we need to make sure we have this cask equipment at each location. That was on the flight home. And then the lion was represented, you know, representative of the neon piece we found. So Yeoman's Road Pub, that was really the inspiration for the new concept, became Yeoman's Cask and Lion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it also tied into the fact when you do go over to England and you're visiting the pubs, whether it's in London or somewhere else, they all have creative names like Coach and Horses, the Three Greyhounds, Churchill's Arms. They're always lengthier names. And so that's the direction that I know that I envisioned with the name. And so I had to use some just, who knows, napkins or whatever on the airplane. And I played around with a few different names, but Yeoman's Cask and Lion came together and it had meaning behind it. And that's just, I guess, the history of the brand and the brand development of that concept.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fascinating hearing about the research. I mean, that's a great idea. Next time you need to open like a Paris-inspired restaurant and be like, I don't know what to do with the bathrooms. We better all go to Paris.
Well, Tiki research. Docs, I still need to do some trips associated, yes. You know, with Tiki style. So there's some good vacation energy with that one. So.
But it sounds like you've always had like a huge grasp on like creativity and branding. Have you always been in branding? Like, was this always your line of work or was this more recently, like when you started with the restaurants?
So the best way to explain that really is not by title, mm-hmm. but by nature and energy. So since I was a little kid, it's been about the details of being a perfectionist and the small things matter and every little detail of every component of a project or even a job that I did. And that wouldn't come full circle unless creativity was part of that. You know, I don't know if you can be a perfectionist if you're only business minded. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can be a perfectionist if you're only creative minded. And so the two worlds have to come together, I think. And so it was never where I was in a position, let's say, where I went to school just for marketing or branding. But really everything I've ever been involved with had elements of business and creativity tied to it. And my background is very, very, very versatile, but I've always taken the same approach to everything I've done, honestly, since I was a kid.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I don't have that creativity, so it always astounds me when somebody is able to see vision and things like that. I once, in one of my prior jobs when I worked in marketing, I had to help with a whole naming exercise. We were renaming products, and mine were so bland. It was just basically like describing the product, and they're like, is this really the best you can do? And I was like, I just don't have it. Like, I lack the creativity. So it's amazing to me thinking through that you started a process at the beginning of like rebranding this whole thing and just the energy and time and the thought that went into it and what it is now. Because I mean, Yeoman's Cask and Lion is really, really neat. Like when you walk inside, it really is kind of like being transported. But you're right, it's like a classier British pub is the best way.
Well, hopefully, like I said, just a little bit more fun. Or there's a little bit more life to it. That's a good way of putting it. But, you know, thank you. It's exciting to see it come to life too. And then I can talk about it for hours. I know I mentioned that to you before. And then it's hard. The one thing I will say is challenging is trying to explain the thought process of, you know, how these things kind of do come together, like what's gone through my head. Mm-hmm. And so even when we were in the process of creating it and I, you know, whether it was during construction, there was probably 40 versions of what I call like a design file sharing with the team or the general contractors, each time trying to go further into detail about what's going through my mind for the details, because not everybody can jump inside there and know exactly what you're trying to explain. So I try to do my best with the brand. So,
and then with Sake 23, because that's now a completely different type of cuisine. You guys ended up going with sushi. Was that difficult? Because you had American with Ford's Garage, you had like British with Yeoman's Cask and Lion, and then taking over a sushi restaurant. That's very different.
It very different. I mean, you know, like you said, you can kind of tie in a little bit of that comfort food styles together, but the sushi approach. New territory, uncharted territory for us. But, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the teamwork, the existing team that we were able to work with going into the project. I don't think we would have done it without them. Mm-hmm. You know, we met with them, strategized and brainstormed in the decision we were of whether we were going to get involved. And if we didn't believe in them, the existing team, and who we would continue to work with, and the merging kind of our two worlds, I'm not sure that we would have moved forward. And that amazing team there has really knocked it out of the park. And then combined with our team's new ideas and innovation, it really just all came together. But yes, uncharted territory. And then on a personal side, our whole team, you know, personally likes to consume and eat that type of food, you know, whether it's sushi or ramen or rice. And so selfishly, I think that kind of pushed us to get involved in fearlessly once again, and have it work out. And it's actually probably out of the concepts, the concept that we like to eat at the most ourselves.
I can definitely agree with that, because we have at Yelp events, which I know Yeoman's Cask and Lion had, which I attended when I was Elite Yelper, so a couple years ago. But when these restaurants decide to put on these events for our most active Yelpers, I'm always super excited when it's the ones that I've been wanting to eat at, and it's the type of cuisine that I love. So I can understand how selfishly it's like when one of those places pop up that's like, yes, we want to go and do that.
I know, I tell everybody, I mean, you'd think we're biased, but I try to say, no, really, the food is good. It's not just because, you know, we're a part of it. Mm-hmm. I go, no, it's really that good because we have other options. We're, you know, we are fortunate to have other options with our other brands. But honestly, if that's the one that we keep obviously for dining at the most frequent, that says something. So yes.
So then how do you make a decision now when you guys are expanding? So a new place pops up that you guys decide to either do a Ford's Garage there or Yeoman's Cask and Lion. Like, is it just mainly Ford's Garage, or what does that thought process look like in terms of expansion?
So it's kind of different for all the different brands thus far. There's something special about Ford's Garage, obviously. Mm-hmm. Also, after, you know, the second or third location, we did the biggest component to the Ford's Garage growth is being a licensee of Ford Motor Company, and it took a couple of years to negotiate that deal. And so being a licensee of Ford Motor Company and the loyalty behind the brand of Ford, again, a tie-in into Americana, it's its own special concept as far as growth and development. Early on, people from around the world were emailing inquiries about, may I open a location up in Europe? May I open up a location in California? And I mean, this is when it was only 2 and 3 concepts. And that rarely happens in the restaurant world. And so there is something special there. And so the growth and development as far as the team really figuring out the locations to grow into, it also is now growing into having joint venture partners and that franchisee relationship to expand the markets and the regions. And it's just got a little bit of a different growth plan than, say, Yeoman's Cask and Lion and Tiki Docks and Sake 23, because we haven't brought in any outside partners for those brands. And where Ford's Garage, like I said, now we have. Mm-hmm. So that's growing a lot more rapidly, and it's got that much more exposure. What's funny is that some of that exposure it's gotten, when they've come to visit the 23 Restaurant Services team, they get introduced to our other brands, and then they've discovered, oh, wow, I really like that Yeoman's Cask and Lion. Can we do that too? So it's been fun to get the inquiries with these other brands that don't have that much exposure. It's been a lot of fun. But then, you know, we try to be a little bit patient and more selective when it comes to new locations, because there's so much on our plate. Mm-hmm. But when it seems like the right fit or the right time, we try to move forward with that. And you know, there's other projects that are beyond what we've talked about thus far that are always in the works. And, you know, there is a pretty big project that we're looking into that's related to the food hall energy going on that I can't talk that much about. But, you know, there's always a lot going on here, and it's just really exciting.
That is exciting. I hope when you guys are actually revealing what that is, you can come back on the podcast and talk about it. Thanks. So people can hear about that. I did notice in terms of affiliates that you guys have, because you guys have restaurants that you're affiliated with, they're all in the Fort Myer area for the most part. Did you guys used to live in Fort Myer, or how is it that it seems to have all started in Fort
Myer? Well, that's what it goes back to, actually. So, you know, why we dove back into the restaurant industry itself and putting the business energy back into the restaurant industry was – getting involved with that first Ford's Garage mm-hmm. and that team down there. And so even though the team down in Fort Myers kind of passed the baton with Ford's Garage, that's because they were developing the whole downtown Fort Myers district with Wow. several other concepts. So we branched where they kept their own operating and management company, and then we developed 23 Restaurant Services. And part of 23 Restaurant Services, again, was taking over the entire brand of Ford's Garage, which they let go of. And then they developed, they've got Firestone Grill, Los Cabos Cantina, Capone's Coal Fired Pizza, Izzy's, and then I'm trying to think of the barbecue one, and they've got so many that I'm blanking a little bit right now. Soho, Social House, and The Lodge. And
oh,
the
wow. Lodge. I wasn't going to put you on the spot to name all of them, so I'm really impressed by that.
But with their, you know, so it's like we're cousins, separate restaurant management, no, besties is what I should say, not cousins, besties. And what's funny is in the restaurant industry, even in Tampa Bay, this area here, there's tons of restaurant groups. Mm-hmm. And Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa Bay is very strong with restaurant brands trying out a new concept. It's always been a test market for decades. And it's really, I guess, rare that a lot of the restaurant groups will work together. So we've found this best friend, obviously, who got us back involved in the restaurant industry with this group in Fort Myers. And they've got their own team. We've got our own team working on all of our own different brands and concepts. But then sometimes we come together, and that we actually are opening one of their concepts, which is Capone's Cold Fired Pizza in Orlando in October.
Wow. So then how do you choose where you're going to open these places? So like, why did you choose Orlando versus opening it in Tampa?
Well, we have a lot of locations around Tampa when it comes to Ford's Garage, but not one in Tampa yet. And the best answer is we've been looking for the right location and nothing's really struck a chord with us, whether it's a parking issue, a good radius. South Tampa and downtown Tampa are constantly changing and evolving. South Tampa can be a challenging market. Mm-hmm. And so we just haven't found that perfect home for Ford's Garage in Tampa Bay. So at first we've expanded around the Tampa Bay area, West Chase, Countryside, St. Pete, Lakeland, Wesley Chapel, Brandon. So we've got it surrounded. And so naturally, you know, we went over and took a look at what the Orlando market looked like. And one of the exciting things about Orlando, other than the existing population, and of course there's tourists there. Mm-hmm. The first location we moved into was at an outlet mall, the Premium Outlets. Mm-hmm. And we had that experience with the location down south at Estero, and we knew how strong an outlet location could be. Mm-hmm. So that kind of introduced us to the Orlando market. But then what happened was we actually ended up talking to Disney a little bit about what was going on in the area based on the surrounding areas and the residential growth. And our eyes opened up to not just the tourist industry, but the residential growth. And so that was a contributing factor really to saying, hey, let's dive into this Orlando market with what we see on the horizon there.
Okay. No, that's really interesting. I didn't actually realize that with Ford's Garage, you do have all the outside Tampa.
I know. Sir.
It's funny because I just see it all the time because there's one in West Chase. So I actually drive by it like every day. And it never occurred to me, because to me it was so normal, but I had a friend visiting and he was like, wait, why is it called Ford's Garage? And I was like, why wouldn't it be? He's like, you don't find that weird? That's an automotive. Like, and I was like, oh, I never thought about that because it's always been just so natural. So I could see how people probably internationally would be like really interested in eating at Ford's Garage.
And believe me, we get the occasional actual email or phone call or a web inquiry about thinking that it was, like you said, a mechanic spot or a garage. And so that happens occasionally still. And that's where you're a business person and you start thinking, okay, how can you improve brand identity a little bit? So that's something we still actually work on as well.
And so I'm guessing the reason why you have been expanding in Tampa, you guys were living in Tampa the whole time while you were talking to the people in Fort Myers. So that was why you wanted to
Yes.
stick in Tampa. And so how has that been? Because I hear a lot about Tampa is just really growing in terms of the restaurant industry. So have you found that to be the case? Are you happy that you guys really put down your roots here to grow?
We do. I mean, it ended up being, you know, kind of a, feels like a centralized location for where things have grown into. Mm-hmm. So, knowing really that we're big fans of Tampa Bay, and it just felt genuine and authentic to want to contribute to the community. Mm-hmm. Even though, like I said, we haven't found this perfect spot right in the heart of Tampa, but I think we all consider Tampa to be outside of just downtown and South Tampa. So those areas we've grown into, we do still consider them all the Tampa Bay and surrounding areas. So just being big fans of it ourselves, and our entire team has lived all over the country, and everybody seems to have planted their kind of roots here, and it just felt natural. And then just, again, wanting to contribute to the community and the growth of where Tampa's going.
So I want to make sure we give Sake 23 some love as well. How long have you guys been, how long has it been since you rebranded that concept?
It's been about a year.
Okay. And have you found, is there anything different or difficult about having that type of restaurant versus the others? Or have you found that it's pretty much been the same?
It's just different. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say, you know, difficult, but just it is different. So typically, obviously, comfort foods are something that people might eat more frequently. Mm-hmm. And as far as more of something like sushi or ramen, I'd say we always look at it as the how the masses are ordering food. And I mean, you could look at something like pizza. Somebody might eat pizza once a week, but they might not eat sushi once a week. Mm-hmm. I personally am a little different. I mean, I've eaten sushi 3 times a week, but when you look at the masses or the general population that we have, people aren't at that point yet where they're eating sushi every week. So we tried to create some obviously versatile or a variety of options on the menu with the menu items is where I was going at that, to be beyond sushi to even having, whether it's a piece of fish or we've got gochugang wings. So even if you like baked and grilled wings or whatnot, just a few menu items there that could definitely appeal to the masses that aren't related to sushi. So it's just been different. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out really our priority there is to just really knock it out of the park with food. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we all eat there, because, you know, we just are just like, when people do come to dine with us, we want them to say, wow, this food was amazing and I can't wait to come back.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing you guys have a variety, because I personally love sushi. I could eat it like every day of the week, and I have. But my husband, he cannot stand the idea of raw fish. So every time he's like, oh, like, you can go to sushi. And I'm like, no, that's not the point. I don't want to sit at a restaurant and eat by myself. Like, you need to come too, and you will order something. So I'm glad that there's stuff like wings, because he's always looking like, is there chicken teriyaki, or right, is there some sort of wings that he can have? And it's always a bit of a battle.
Have you been there?
No, I haven't yet.
So when you guys go for the first time, you'll have to take him. And the crispy orange beef is on. I mean, it's one of my favorite menu items, even though I do eat sushi. So the crispy orange beef, the sweet and spicy cauliflower. We mm-hmm. call it crack cauliflower. I can't go there and not order it. But then with the fried rices, we even have a spam and pineapple fried rice. So lots of options, of obviously cooked options. We really dove into that menu beyond sushi. Mm-hmm. So I could, again, I'm talking about my favorite place to eat at for the most part. So
yeah, that's great. That's what you really want to do, is make sure that the concepts that you have are the place that you always want to eat. So then let's talk a bit about Tiki Dock, since that's the next one that's opening. Do you guys have a projected opening date? Is it
so it's on schedule, as far as, like I said, it's taken a long time, and up until we broke ground earlier this year. And the biggest thing that's, I'm not going to say it's delaying us yet, but it obviously plays a factor in it, is the amount of rain that we've gotten in the past 2 months. It's a challenge with the mud and the heavy equipment, because the Tiki Docks is all on stilts for the most part. I mean, it's all on pilings, and you know, you've got the structural engineering there that took over a year to develop. And being that it's by the river and in the mud, it's really challenging to dive into this initial phase of construction. The good thing is that we're getting through it. But we initially anticipated a December opening, but it probably looks more like January.
I find that a lot of restaurants end up having to like move back their dates, because a lot of times for Yelp events, we do soft openings and they have to come back and be like, never mind, it's going to be another month. Right. So that's very common.
That's the restaurant industry, no matter what concept it is. So that's probably one of our biggest challenges is, could you ever not move an opening date? That's practically impossible. So
yeah, that'd be really impressive actually. If that ever happened. So in terms of creating the Tiki Docs and this concept, so then were you over the branding of this as well? And
everything from the name to the logo to the initial menu design, drink ideas, and the build out decor and design. Yes.
It sounds like a place that will have fantastic drinks. Like when I hear Tiki Docks, I immediately think just like a cool beverage, like on the water and watching out.
Right. I mean, it's obviously going to have a lot of energy beyond your basic pina colada or strawberry daiquiri. Once you bring that tiki component into it, it's just got a strong following throughout this country where, I mean, people are fans and try to go visit tiki concepts around the country, and we're just hoping to do it a little bit of justice, obviously, with the creative drinks, everything from fishbowl punches and flight of Mai Tais and very creative options when it comes to the drink menu.
That sounds really exciting, actually, a flight of Mai Tais. Right. Now I'm like putting on my calendar. I was like, when is this going to open?
Forget the beer flights. Tiki yes. Docs, it's all about the flight of Mai Tais.
Oh, yes. I always love when they have like flights of margaritas or like flights of fruity drinks. Right. It's so much more fun to me. But in terms of actually like branding all these restaurants, what is the hardest thing that you've come across when trying to think through like the concepts and everything?
I would say the hardest part to it, I kind of mentioned it, and I guess it doesn't really have to do with me, but is that initial vision that you're explaining and sharing with the team, because at the end of the day, even though that might be, let's say, my initial vision, the end result is always a collaboration. So everybody here has a tremendous background in the restaurant industry. Some people have that little bit of creative talent, others don't. Or like I said, the artist that worked, you know, with us on the Yeoman's project, well, now he's part of the team. So,
oh, wow.
You know, once we developed that relationship and we clicked, I really couldn't, or I wouldn't have most of the vision or bring it to life that I work on initially, obviously, without him. And we work together practically every day for the past 4 years. But again, the challenging part to this initial branding and work is going into that collaboration with everyone to try to bring your initial ideas to life enough to, you know, because the end result, like I said, is not going to be successful without collaboration. Mm-hmm. And it's just that transition. That's what I'm going at. The transition from the initial ideas to the end result. Yeah.
So I know this is a kind of 24/7 job, because branding, you can always be thinking about it. So how do you find that you're able to prevent burnout and trying not to get too stressed? Because it seems like there's always probably something that you could be doing.
There is. And beyond, you know, the branding, I've had fun today talking about the concept work itself, but there's a lot going on, because part of this role here with brand development, like it is working with the whole entire marketing department. That includes social media, review management, the creative content, our team communications, all the communications for the brand, website inquiries, phone calls. So we actually got to talk about the fun stuff today.
Right.
But the rest of it, which is amazing too, but that does contribute to burnout. And that is actually my biggest weakness. So I still try to work on that every day. And to be quite honest, I haven't figured it out yet. And I definitely push myself to the limit, and that I'll be as honest as I can be. And I'm still trying to figure out how to work on that. And I just kind of trust myself when I feel like I've hit a wall to allow myself to just take a day to decompress. I will tell you, if I feel like I need to work from home for a day instead of being in the office, I typically feel pretty comfortable with that. And even that little component right there of whether it's, okay, I'm sitting in my pajamas working on my laptop all day versus being in the office, can be a game changer for recharging. But honestly, I don't do a very good job of let's say, not burning out. But then again, if I burn out, I wouldn't be productive. So maybe it's just pushing myself right to the edge before burnout. I, you know, hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. But this obviously is all conveying that I'm a workaholic. So
it's just funny because I realized that the people who have been guests on this podcast, for the most part, just love what they do. And that's one of the most difficult things, because then your work becomes all consuming when you love what you do.
It's a good way, right?
It's very hard then to take a step back, because then if you burn out, then you're right, you can't be productive anymore. So,
well, also that just reminded me of something. So often when I said, hey, we were talking about the fun stuff today. So the concept work to me is not even work. So to me, it's fun stuff. And so sometimes when somebody comes into my office and they're asking me a question about the concept work, I say, oh, it's a smoke break. I'm not a smoker, but I'll say, oh, it's a smoke break, meaning I'm stepping away from the projects or the tasks and the operational side of things. And if it's a question about the concept work, I truly feel this isn't work right now. I'm on my smoke break for that 10 minutes. I'm actually talking about work still. So just, that's what we call it around, or I call it around here. And you know, it's little things like that where, yes, I'm still working. Or when I go home at night and I have the creative ideas and I keep all these folders on my computer, that whether it's for a new concept one day or new ideas for what we're working on with existing concepts. And yes, I'm guilty. I'm still at home, you know, opening up that laptop and adding content to it, but it doesn't feel like work because I love it.
Right. And I can tell just from our conversation about how much you love these concepts and love your work. It's a good place to be at.
Well, I have a hard time sometimes when I have conversations with people about it, because there's so much stuff going through my head of all the detail, because I'm super detailed. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to summarize, actually, because, you know, when on this end, you're looking at all the little components of it. And I didn't even touch base on that. But yeah. So and then I'm thinking, this has got to be boring for them. You know, it's got to just be exciting for me. But you know, I kind of laugh at it all. So laugh at myself.
Well, I think it's been absolutely fascinating. Is there anything else that you would want our Yelp Tampa Bay listeners to know?
Well, you know, I know we talked about the kind of creative thought process behind how this all came about, or the branding components of it. And, you know, just when you ask, hey, what would these listeners, and whether you're Yelpers or on Yelp, you know, might want to know, well, it really is that this team is just genuinely so dedicated to providing a guest experience, not just in this decor atmosphere, but like I said, we're a team, we're a family, and that's how we want to look at everybody that decides to come spend time with us. And we're trying our best. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. And it, I will say, every single person is trying their best. And we're dedicated to that. So hopefully, eventually, everybody will feel that and want to spend time with us.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's funny because you guys have so many concepts that usually I say, so where can we find you on social? Do you even think you'd be able to list? We'll also have in the show notes, but in terms of like Instagram, does each Ford Garage have its own Instagram account, or is there just one overall?
So with the growth of Ford's Garage, I always call that the beast. Yes. So Ford's Garage is a beast, and to handle that, as far as knowing that we wanted brand consistency and to protect our relationship with Ford Motor Company, because we value that, mm-hmm. you know, we have taken a hybrid approach. So Ford's Garage has a brand Instagram page and a brand Twitter page, but then we did create a location Facebook page for each location. Mm-hmm. So we really could, we have so much, you know, local content and local interaction that we decided to use Facebook for the location specific stuff. And we'll still have the overall brand, you know, components to it and messaging, but we use Instagram and Twitter for a more, you know, broad overall message, except for obviously adding stories and highlights with some of that local stuff.
That's good to know. So if anyone listening is interested in their specific Ford's Garage, take a look on Facebook. I know I'm going to do that because I'm really interested to see now what specials or anything special is happening at the Ford's Garage in West Chase.
Oh, there's some exciting ones this week. Brand new this week in West Chase.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. I need to hop on that Facebook page. And then for Yeoman's Cask and Lion, is there a specific Instagram page for them? Do you know the handle?
Yeoman's Cask and Lion.
Okay, that's easy.
I think it's just because I'm on this, you know, thinking right now where I doubt myself. It might not have and. It might be Yeoman's Cask Lion. Mm-hmm. I can pull it up real quick. But that's just because I'm doubting myself. And shame on me. Let's see.
That's okay. And then Sake 23.
Oh, it is. So Yeoman's Cask and Lion. Okay. So the word and, isn't it? Ford's Garage is, by the way, the website and the Instagram is Ford's Garage USA.
Okay.
That's and as far as Sake 23, I remember we needed to add something to it. So it's Sake 23 FL for Florida.
Was Sake 23 then taken?
Yes. Yeah. By just an individual somewhere.
Oh,
yes.
Of course.
Not a business.
That's kind of how it works. Well, it was great talking to you. And I'm really glad that we were able to discuss all of your awesome concepts. So.
Oh, well, thank you for listening to me talk about those concepts because, you know, it's fun.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And that's our podcast. Tune in the 1st and 15th of every month for a new episode.